Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, On Great Fields by Ronald C. White is a cradle-to-grave biography of Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain, the Maine scholar, ministerial student, union officer, and public servant best remembered for leadership at Little Round Top during the Battle of Gettysburg. White treats Chamberlain not only as a Civil War icon, but as a complex 19th-century American whose life joined education, religion, military command, politics, and memory. The book follows Chamberlain from rural Maine and Bowdoin College into the Union Army, where his lack of formal military training made his rise all the more unusual. It then carries the story through severe wounds, post-war public office, and his later role as president of Bowdoin. The purpose is biographical rather than narrowly military. White uses Chamberlain to examine how moral formation, disciplined learning, courage under pressure, and the burden of survival shaped a life that remained defined by war long after the battlefield ended. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the transformation from Bowdoin professor to Union field commander, a central concern of On Great Fields, is the improbable nature of Chamberlain's military career. Before the Civil War, Chamberlain was known primarily as a Bowdoin College professor with interests in languages, rhetoric, religion, and classical learning. White emphasizes that his decision to volunteer was not the obvious move of a professional soldier, but the deliberate choice of a civilian intellectual who believed the Union. Crisis demanded personal sacrifice. This matters because the biography resists treating heroism as something innate or automatic. Chamberlain entered the army with habits formed in classrooms, churches, and books, not on drill fields. His education gave him verbal discipline, moral seriousness, and a capacity to interpret events in larger civic terms. At the same time, he had to acquire practical command under extreme conditions. White shows that his military identity developed through adaptation, observation, and responsibility for men under stress. The result is a portrait of leadership as conversion rather than simple destiny. Chamberlain becomes important precisely because he did not begin as the expected type of warrior. Secondly, Little Round Top is a test of judgment under exhaustion. The best-known episode in Chamberlain's life is his defense of Little Round Top at Gettysburg, and White gives it substantial attention without reducing the entire biography to that moment. Chamberlain and the 20th Maine held the far left of the Union line on the second day of the battle. After repeated Confederate assaults and with ammunition nearly gone, Chamberlain ordered a bayonet charge that helped secure the position. The importance of the episode lies not merely in battlefield drama, but in the nature of command under compression. Chamberlain had to make a decision with limited resources, physical exhaustion, imperfect information, and no guarantee that boldness would succeed. White situates the charge within the larger geography and urgency of Gettysburg, aided by the kind of mapping and tactical explanation needed to understand why the flank mattered. The scene illustrates a recurring theme of the book. The help Paul Chamberlain's heroism was not reckless aggression but a form of disciplined risk, shaped by responsibility to mission, unit, and cause. Thirdly, Christian and classical education as sources of public virtue, White presents Chamberlain as a man whose values were formed before the war and then tested by it. His religious training, classical education, and academic career mattered because they supplied the language and categories through which he understood duty, sacrifice, honor, and citizenship. The book does not treat these influences as decorative background. They help explain why Chamberlain could move between the worlds of college, army, politics, and public commemoration with unusual fluency. His interest in rhetoric and moral reasoning shaped not only how he spoke, but how he interpreted the meaning of the Union cause. This dimension distinguishes the biography from accounts that focus almost entirely on tactics or battlefield reputation. White uses Chamberlain to show how 19th-century education could produce a model of civic responsibility that joined personal discipline with public obligation. The same intellectual formation that made Chamberlain a professor also helped him become a commander and later a public speaker who framed the Civil War as a test of democratic purpose. Fourthly, wounds, endurance, and the long aftermath of combat, On Great Fields pays close attention to the physical and emotional costs of Chamberlain's war service. Chamberlain was wounded more than once, most severely at Petersburg, where his injuries were considered life-threatening. He survived, but survival did not mean a clean return to ordinary life. White treats the post-war years as part of the same biography, rather than as an epilogue after the heroic climax. This structure matters because it challenges the common tendency to freeze Civil War figures at their most famous battlefield moment. Chamberlain lived for decades with the consequences of combat, including pain, memory, and the difficulty of translating wartime intensity into civilian purpose. The book, therefore, becomes a study of veteran experience as well as military achievement. Chamberlain had to continue making meaning from events that had brought both honor and suffering. White uses this long aftermath to show that heroism can include endurance after public applause fades, especially when the body remains a record of violence. Lastly, post-war services governor, educator, and keeper of Union memory, White extends Chamberlain's story well beyond Appomattox, where Chamberlain had a notable role during the surrender ceremonies. After the war, Chamberlain served 4 terms as governor of Maine, and later became president of Bowdoin College. These roles are essential to the biography, because they demonstrate that his public identity was not confined to combat. White presents him as a figure who tried to convert military authority into civic service, educational leadership, and public reflection on the meaning of the Union victory. His later speeches and commemorative activities helped shape how Americans remembered the war, especially its claims about national unity, sacrifice, and democratic ideals. This part of the book also adds complexity. The transition from battlefield command to institutional leadership required different skills, and Chamberlain faced the ordinary constraints of politics, administration, and aging. By following these decades, White positions Chamberlain as more than the Lion of Round Top. He becomes a case study in how a republic turns soldiers into symbols, and how those symbols continue to act within public life. In conclusion, On Great Fields is best suited for readers of Civil War history, military biography, American political culture, and leadership studies who want more than a battle-centered account of Gettysburg. Readers interested in Chamberlain through The Killer Angels, Ken Burns, or general Civil War memory will find a fuller historical portrait that places the famous bayonet charge within an entire life. The practical benefit of the book is its attention to judgment, duty, resilience, and the difficult movement from crisis leadership to civic responsibility. Its intellectual benefit is broader. White connects one individual life to 19th century education, religion, war, veteranhood, public office, and national memory. Compared with narrower campaign histories, the book stands out by refusing to make Little Round Top the endpoint of Chamberlain's significance. Compared with many heroic biographies, it is also notable for treating wounds, post-war adjustment, and institutional service as central rather than secondary. The result is a biography that can serve both general readers and historically serious audiences. It offers a clear narrative of a famous Civil War figure while also asking how moral conviction, public language, and lived suffering shaped the long career of an American soldier citizen. If you would like to support Ronald C. White, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.